You're having a threesome with Jennifer Golden, Lauren Leonelli, and Rob Evers. And now, It's Complicated.
Hello, Master Daters. Welcome back for another episode of It's Complicated.
Your fave podcast for all things dating and relationships.
A one-stop pod shop for the latest trends, reality TV, and celebrity couple gossip.
Plus, everything we've got going on in our own love lives.
We're your village, and we think you can't date or relate without us.
And you should be pumped to be here because we are bringing you the expertise and guests who are filled with all the answers that'll take some guessing out of the game.
Make sure you subscribe and share our pod with your friends so we can help grow the village even bigger. You can find us at It's Complicated Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to tell a friend. Just like your dating profile, we're going to post up and talk about our latest and greatest to keep you updated.
And today we are updating you on how Jen is caught in a wedding planning downward spiral. Don't worry, it's not that bad, but it is kind of juicy. We're also going to talk about why I am currently realizing that it took me 2.5 years to get my life together after kids and why I think couples get divorced at this stage.
Ooh.
And we're going to talk about if Rob is going to swipe left on our dating challenge because we feel it. We're like the insecure girlfriend right now. We're like, is he going to call us back? We're getting very nervous. Okay. So let's get into it. Jen, she's in a downward wedding planning spiral. I know that sounds bad.
Do you mean like downhill or downward?
Downward. Like she's getting super stressed. And
this is juicy.
Jen, it is juicy because can you tell everyone what Daniel did that made you want to rip your hair out?
This is juicy. And on VPR day two?
What did he do about the welcome dinner day that just almost made you want to be like, you can have this wedding by, we'll still get married, but you can have this wedding by yourself.
The guy says to me the other day, while we're just chit-chatting, having a glass of wine, and he's like, hey, should we have our welcome party at this other place? And I'm like, what? The place we first went to, that was the option number one that you said no to. And we actually have locked one in where it's not only in our invites, we've paid a deposit and it's planned. What are you talking about, Mr. Person
who has no experience? Special sometimes.
Do you get your deposit back if it's a certain amount of time before the wedding? Or is it like you that's your date and then you lose the money if you don't use it?
I think it works differently in different places. But I don't actually know. And either way, we're not changing it. It's literally printed everywhere. And it's a great place that we picked. And the point of it all is that the guy does not know what it takes to plan this wedding because he is a passenger in this car on the journey of our wedding life.
I thought you guys had tea and charcuterie and while you made puzzles, you talked about wedding.
We do, but I curate the things we need to talk about. I distill the list to the key points. I present him a beautiful picture of things to talk about and things to choose from. And then from there, we move on. We commit, we move on. And then I was very surprised when he brought this up because I'm like, we booked that, I think, October of last year.
Why did he say no to number one that he wants to go? Why did he say no in the first place? He just chose number two for no reason?
The first one we picked was so we're getting married in Santa Barbara. They have this area called the Funk Zone, which is like wine tasting rooms.
Yeah.
It is not wineries. It's wine tasting rooms. So they're very much like in a city and they're all in one block, which makes it's really convenient to go from one to the other. So one of the vineyards we joined on our first trip to Santa Barbara has a tasting room in Santa Barbara. In the Funk Zone. So we're like, great. Maybe we should check it out as a place to have our welcome party because it has meaning to us. But they then don't do catering. They bring in like a taco stand and it's a whole thing. And like when we thought about it, we're like, well, it's not the vibe we want because it's not Santa Barbara-y enough. It just feels like a room with wine. So we shifted to a place on the marina, which is also where we went during our first trip. We walked along the marina. We had seafood, not at this particular location, but close enough.
Right.
And so we're like, we want to give everyone who's traveling to our wedding two types of Santa Barbara. One, the marina, and two, the venue that we're actually getting married at, which is like that Spanish colonial, like European looking building. So no, we're not moving it, Daniel, if you're listening. We're getting married at exactly where we said we would. see you there. So
I think that it's an issue because, and I can relate.
See you there, she said.
See you there. Be on time.
You're still invited.
Be on time. I think it's an issue for you. It stressed you out, Jen, because I would feel the same way. When there's a lot of decisions to make, anyone feels very overwhelmed, but I in particular, and being a very Libra of me, I'm like, I don't, what, which one am I going to pick? Like there's too many, somebody fucking help. And when you have someone to kind of help you, and then they start throwing wrenches in the game of the decision-making, especially the ones you've checked off the list, it's like maddening.
The ones you've printed, ones you've printed and told people about on print.
That news went to print.
Yeah.
That story's been sent out. So no. We're not changing anything.
But what was his reasoning? Why? Because he didn't want...
I didn't even ask. I literally was about to throw him off the balcony. I was like, holy shit.
Well, he was just feeling like a taco truck that day? Like he was like...
I have no idea. Maybe he was actually feeling a little sentimental that day. I'm not really sure. But
did he put up
what I wanted to say to him was, if you feel strongly about this thing, now it is your responsibility to rectify it. Because I capped out at, I did the planning. We done there. If you want to change, that's on you, boo. So turns out we're not changing anything. And
turns out we're not surprised.
Yeah, of course. So, and I'm okay with that. I'm fine with changing minds and things, but that window has closed. So this is like, that was an unforeseen stress that I didn't think I would be faced with. But then there are other things that I'm just going to be really transparent about here. So I am a fatherless bride. Mm-hmm. That's not a surprise to anybody because we know me. So no one has asked me how it feels to be a fatherless bride as we approach the wedding about planning the first dance or any of these things or who's walking me down the aisle.
Hasn't brought it up once?
I mean, Daniel and I talk about it, but like anybody else.
I thought
like,
that's who you were passive aggressively referring to. I was like, No.
Daniel and I talk about it all the time. But it's just weird that like my family and people haven't really brought it up, but I will say this. I think there is definitely a difference. Well, we talk about different phases in life all the time on the show, but there's a difference in getting married when you're 39 and 50 than when you're 24. No one's planning our wedding for us, so they're not involved in the details. They're really just a guest. They also see me as an adult, and I deal with the loss of my dad, and it's also been 6.5 years at this point when we get married, and I think because I don't make it top of mind to them, they don't bring it up. But actually, my cousin called me the other day saying that my uncle wants to know if I would want to do a dance with him because of not having a dad. And I was like, so through the grapevine, you're asking for him. Yes, I want it. Ambush me with love. I'm never going to turn away love.
That's sweet. It's not through the grave. I think it's like you said, it's a hard thing to approach because it's like, we know that you loved your dad so much. It's sensitive, especially that point. So you don't want to unnecessarily upset somebody.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think people also don't want to like, it's a happy time. Do we bring up the fact that I think, people get nervous.
Like, obviously she knows about it and obviously she's going to do something to honor her dad. But like, do I bring it up about the dance? Like,
it's a weird thing, especially for men.
Handled it right for the cousin to be like, hey, my dad was thinking about you and the stance, and he's offering his feet, and his shoulder.
Well, so I told him, I was like, yes, I welcome an ambush of love. I prefer it. I am me, and I am not somebody who kind of shields from talking about tougher stuff. I actually regularly celebrate my dad and in the different capacities. So I would rather feel supported and acknowledge that this is a hard thing than feel so lonely in it, because otherwise it's me planning ways to honor my dad alone with Daniel, obviously, but like they're the ones who were related to him. Daniel's never met my dad.
Would it be overstepping boundaries if Daniel had reached out to one of your relatives and been like, hey, would you be interested in doing this with Jen?
So I asked him if he actually got to my cousin, and it's not something he would do. He's very British and very proper, and they don't talk about feelings in their culture. And like that is just also their family dynamics different. So he would not do that, but I'm glad it happened. I feel good about it. I'm welcoming it. So if any family members are listening, sign up. You all can dance with me. But anyway, so it's been a weird time. I'm kind of like in my own little world of it. And I've said on the podcast before, it's like this project that you keep planning that you don't actually see results of for like a year. So you're spending all this money, you're making all these decisions, you hope it's going to be great, but it's like it's a very individual experience. Daniel and I are planning it, but it's still very different for me than it is for him. And like, I'm not 24, so I'm doing it alone.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Weird vibe.
What about your mom?
She's there.
Okay. But she's not helping with any of this stuff? She's not like, she's not reaching out to family members about?
No. She and I have a different relationship. And like, I would say I'm the mom in some regard. And so I plan better. I organize better. I am more efficient. I'm budget friendly. And I'm the one paying for it ultimately.
But she didn't ask about the dad stuff? She wasn't like...
She's mentioned some things, but like, she also doesn't know how I feel. It's different for her. So sometimes she says things that I'm like, that is so not a me thing. Like, do you know me at all? Mm. Okay. So that's a little challenging.
Best to keep her as a sideline.
Exactly. So I'm trying to navigate like getting people involved, not getting people involved, and how
it's
I feel about
you too, because it's such a personal experience to you. Unfortunately, I have multiple friends whose fathers have passed away like at young ages, and every single one of them handles it so differently. And it's hard to know. I watch them all like deal with it in their own ways. And so you have to know as an outsider, like, how is that person specifically being? Because it's all, I mean, vastly different. So there's not one like black and white answer. But yeah, I mean, I think you just have to know your audience.
Okay. So speaking of my audience, I will say the one last thing that has been incredibly stressful. So our wedding is well organized, I would say. We've got a website complete with all the details you could possibly need to go about your business in planning your journey to my wedding. The invite had information and it directed you back to the website. Every person in my family has asked me if my wedding's casual. They're like, well, I saw it says coastal chic attire. And I was like, yeah, that's for day one. That's Friday. Look, scroll down. Saturday. I also have an FAQ section that has a full definition of what the attire means. I cannot give you more information to make your life easier. And yet no one knows what they're doing. First of all, when you think of me, anybody who knows me, do you think I'm casual? What about me says casual attire to my wedding?
What about me says corduroys and a plaid button down?
Oh my God. It's black tie optional, everyone.
Well, Daniel and I were so annoyed that after he asked me if we could move the welcome party and I almost threw him off the balcony, then we were like, we got to change the language on the website, and we put black tie.
Oh, you didn't even put optional?
No, I got rid of optional. People don't seem to get it. We did black tie / formal. Formal, I think, might resonate better with people because optional sounded like casual.
Yeah.
People get confused with black tie optional because that's like you can either wear a tuxedo or you don't have to wear a tie.
To me, black tie optional means you go formal or one tiny scotch underneath for super formal.
Yeah. You basically can wear a suit. You don't have to wear a tux. But anyway, enough about me and my stresses. I'm better now, supposedly.
Well, after this wedding, and you maybe start planning a family, just know that it takes a while to get back into your regular life after you have a baby. And I think that's different for everyone. But for me, it took like 2.5 years. And I'm only saying that because now I feel like my life is normal. So now I'm looking back a little bit in retrospect going, okay, wait, yeah, I'm back to normal life now, but I'm actually not. And I
back,
know
back to normal life being the way you were before the kids, or back to normal, well, like the life you have now is normal.
Okay. Both-ish. More back to the life that I have now is normal-ish. So because that my whole point is that it takes a long time to like find this normal-ish life, but you have to accept that the new normal is not whatever what it will be. Like I could, even down to like crazy details, like I could, let's say you want your body to look the same. Like it is very I don't think I could do anything to ever make my body look the same. Like, I think physical bones have moved. Like, my boobs, goodbye. Like, this, you just have to accept that this is the new normal and that these changes, obviously, you have changes, you have kids. But beyond that, there are other things that have changed that are never going to go back. And I think that this is what sends people into, like, breaking up or divorcing, because they don't accept, they're waiting so bad to get back to their regular life, and they don't. And it's a stressful time. And when once you realize, like, hey, it's been 2.5 years or 3 years, like, why are we still like this? Like, why are things still different? They get resentful and they take it out on the other person. And then that leads to the four horsemen riding through your living room.
Do you think that's why people have, like, another kid? Or, like, I know that some people go in being like, I wanted 2 or 3 kids, which is great. But do you think that because their new normal, they can't get back to where it was before the first kid, that they have another kid because now that's the normal, and then things are, they can kind of sit in this purgatory state for another year or two because that they're taking care of this new child?
I think that is definitely possible, but I will say I do know women, I don't know about men, but I do know women that are like, I just love having babies so much, I wanted another one. So yeah. Like, that's not my personal thought process, but I do know that that is also why people have more babies, because they just love having babies. So I do love my babies. I don't think that I loved having newborn babies. I think it's really fucking hard and it was very tiring, but I definitely know women feel that way. So I think there are, yes. And I think some people do just go, okay, let's just have another one. I pulled the trigger fast because I was getting older and was like, I don't have a lot of time. So let's just see where this takes us. And literally 1 month later, I was pregnant. So, which was a little quicker than I anticipated, but anyway, I got it done quickly. But I do think that people can get a little resentful if they don't know how to embrace the fact that their life is different now. And trust me, like, even knowing that, you still have your moments of, like, you know, when I have to miss going out to my friends, like, James's friend is having a 50th birthday this weekend, and I probably can't go because we can't find childcare. And I really want to go, but I can't. So for the 789th time, I'm going to stay home with the kids. This will fall on moms most of the time, you guys, unless you're rich and you have nannies. Like, I'm just putting it out there. I don't have fucking nannies. I'm not rich. So I can't just, like, have someone come over and take care of my children. And also, it falls on moms to stay home with the kids because of mom guilt, and kids prefer the moms, and it's easier for husbands to leave. That's just plain and simple fucking facts. So I know if you don't agree with me, you're probably just wrong, or you're, like, rich and you have a nanny, because that's just the way.
Well, also, when you first have them, you're attached to them because you feed them. But yes. And so moms are glued to them because of that as well. It's like house arrest. But at the same time, you have mentioned the new normal. That is obviously part of what we talk about on It's Complicated, the different phases of life. What would you say are tips for people who are experiencing that shift into the new normal? And, like, are there things they can do with their partner to address it, or, like, things they should be aware of, or books, or, I mean, listen, they can listen to our podcast, but we don't only focus on that. Are there other tools out there to help adjust?
Couples therapy for sure. Even if you're not like, oh my God, we totally need this. Even if you just are like, let's try it out. I mean, yes, it can be expensive, but it is a good tool to have, because there are some
even if it's like once a month. Exactly. You know what I mean? It should be like something regular in your with like date night. You know what I mean? It should be something that you guys do and plan.
Yeah. And I think that you should just keep in mind that it's like a sensitive time for everybody with kids and babies and things, because people are tired and everyone's just raw. But I think that people experiencing this, like, new normal shift should just try their best to, like, disarmingly express if you feel like an imbalance, because it can happen. Like I said, like, a lot falls on the moms for, like, biological reasons. And then also it creates this, like, bond that then is hard to break. And so, you know, a lot of the responsibility falls on the moms with the baby. So you just have to, in a disarming way, be able to tell your husband, like, or partner, like, I need more help, or just, you know, be aware that it's a little unbalanced right now, but whenever you can pick up any of the pieces for me, or offer this, that, or the other thing, please do. because it is easy to sort of just get in this like mode of like, he goes and has fun and I have to stay home. Like, and a lot of the times I offer it because I'm just like, that's even without trying, I'm like, you just go and I'll stay. Cause that's what's going to fucking end up happening anyway. But that's also my bad, because then sometimes it puts me in the position where like James is going on the fifth guy trip of the, in the last 3 years, and I've gone on none. And I'm no fun with my friends. And I'm like, fuck this. Like, this is not fair. Like, stop asking me if you can go on a trip. Why don't you just tell your friends you can't go? Because then you come to me and say, can I go on this golf trip? And I'm like, what am I going to say? No. Then I look like the asshole. So also,
well, the good thing though is now at least this year, you have trips coming up.
I do. That's what I'm saying. I'm back to this normal where like I went on a girls trip last year. Now it's a year later. I'm going on another one. So like it feel and James and I just went to Vegas. We got to do that. So like it's starting to feel normal, but I will say like
it's a different normal.
It's a different normal because even when you're like in Vegas, I'm waking up at 8 a.m. being like, are the kids okay? What are they doing right now? It's like your brain is always half with your children no matter what, but it's fine. Just accept the fact, that's my point here.
You come out of the parental swamp of changing diapers and screaming kids and babies, and they can't communicate, and you don't know what they want. And, I mean, the screaming is always going to be there, but at least now you know like what they're asking for and all that other shit. And you can kind of be like, okay, they're kind of turning into their own little human being. I can kind of like go back to being my own human being a little bit.
It is getting easier. And with time, it gets easier. But as long as you can accept the fact that, yes, normal does come back, but it's going to be new in so many ways. As long as you can accept that and embrace that, I think that's key to not heading down like the resentful pathway.
Great.
Rob, speaking of resentful, are you resenting us because of this dating challenge? Because I feel like you are. And I feel like you've swiped left on the dating challenge. What is going on?
Yeah, I don't even remember what the dating challenge is, to be honest. And I told you it was probably not going to last very long. And I know what March was supposed to be. No idea what April was supposed to be. But
I'll look it up right now.
My update for you is that I have officially deleted Bumble.
Okay, but you have other dating apps, though?
I still have Hinge.
Okay.
And
Raya.
I think I just matched with somebody today, but I don't know if I want to message them because it's like,
okay. Well, let me just say really quick, the April dating challenge was to go on second dates with people that you had gone on a date with in the March challenge.
Yeah. So I'm already out. I'm already disqualified.
Or you could just get back in the game. No one said that this was going to be
perfect. Here's the thing. What I'm realizing is, first of all, I'm still waitlisted for Riot, which I'm not putting any effort into being like, get me off your wait list. Then there's another one that they found called The League. Have you guys heard of this?
Yes. The CEO has been on this podcast.
Oh, she has?
Yes.
With you two?
Yes, just with us.
Well,
I wasn't here.
Correct.
Yeah. Before you.
Who else? The third person?
B-R before Rob. Yeah.
So I don't know who that person is, but that's an expensive fucking app for that CEO. I bet she's making a lot of money because it's like $3.99 a year or something like that to fucking join it.
When we first interviewed her, this was years ago. I don't know how many years ago, but I don't think it cost anything.
Well,
I don't remember it.
But she's making a pretty penny now. And you have to be in a waiting room. And then you see like everybody's like from around the world. It's kind of like Raya. So you're like, well, yes, that girl's attractive. She's in a doctor. Oh, and in the league, you also have to be like, isn't the original idea like Ivy League? Like you have to have like a higher end job.
You're supposed to have a LinkedIn. So basically you are a business professional and you are employed.
Yes. Okay. So like, but also like you're seeing people that are in like Amsterdam. You're like, what am I going to do with that? Like,
that's
they're
weird.
High.
It must have changed a lot. Interesting.
So that, and then like, I wish they would come up with like, this is the app that everybody is using because there's so many now and they're all so spread out and everybody just puts up the same shit. Nobody's really putting in any effort into these things. I mean, I have people that I'll be like, oh yeah, she's cute. And then they'll match with me and message me. I'm like, but are they that cute? Like, are they cute enough for me to get like, start talking to them and then want to get off the couch and go meet and then do what? Nothing. So I did have a moment with a girl in a bar, like, because we have these outside bars you bring your dogs to and everything. And she came up to my dog Ransom and was like petting her. And we started talking for a minute. And I kind of was like, I should ask her name and blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, I'm going to go home. So like, I just kind of like went home, you know, like I didn't ask, but that's, I feel like the only two times that I've actually responded to somebody on the dating app, they've been a catfish.
Yes, that is true. And I think for the audience's sake, Rob sends us a screenshot whenever things come up that seem a little fishy, catfishy, and we will tell him if it's a robot or not. So it's true. When something seems too good to be true and then the person communicates like a robot,
yeah,
you know, if it's a, it's a duck.
This person was like, I'm like, oh,
I can't wait to meet you when we go out in Austin or something.
No. Weird. She said it was like, I'm like, she's from somewhere. And I'm like, I said something like, have you always lived in San Antonio? She's like, yes, I've always lived in San Antonio. I can't wait for us to date in Texas. And I was like, okay, this is not real.
No,
this
can't be real. That's not how human
beings. Yes, I've always lived here. Where do you live? Looking forward to dating you in Texas, LOL.
Oh, is that what you screenshotted?
That's what she said.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like these other people that are verified on Hinge, I'm like, okay, nobody's getting me to like want to go meet them. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so here's what I have to say to that. It's only far if you don't want to go. You will travel to the end of the earth if you want to go somewhere, just like if you really wanted to date, you would make more of an effort. And that's okay. If you listen back to our episodes of this podcast, I was literally saying the same exact things. I was fatigued. I hated it. I didn't want to put an effort, but I knew I wanted to date. I was not excited to get off. I was like, tell me why I should get off my couch with my dog. So then I would implement FaceTimes because I'm like, I'm not wearing pants and I'm not putting them on for you.
That's
so,
OnlyFans.
Right. That's, well, they didn't know I wasn't wearing pants. I guess I should have explained that. But
yeah. That's a whole other chapter of Jen's life.
Yeah, I was going to suggest, hey, I thought about OnlyFans the other day. I was like, I mean, if people want to watch me put my foot in whipped cream or something, fucking pay. I don't care. Pay me.
Right. We're getting off track. That want to watch you do the dishes.
Okay, fine. I'm very good at cleaning the counters. You can pay me to do that. But we're getting off track. I think FaceTime, Rob, could be a good thing. It is only far if you want to go.
I don't look good on FaceTime. Okay. I'm not meeting somebody for the first time on FaceTime.
That's not true. I can see you right now and you look perfect.
Yeah, our eyes see you. You look fine.
Your eyes see me, but I know that I look better than I do right now.
But then keep that in mind for the other person. And also, could a dating app never give you that you're making me want to get off the couch? Maybe it just gives you a tiny spark and you go from there. Like, I don't think to expect a dating app to really catapult you into this great feeling of wanting to date that meet this person. Like, I think it is just what it is. It's an app. It's a fucking picture. It's some
text.
But
I don't even want to text with people I don't know that are there's this girl that I matched. I was like, yeah, she's cute. And I liked it yesterday. Now we're a match. Right. And then I go to see her on Hinge and I'm like, do I want to start a conversation with a stranger just because?
Okay.
No. That's the dating app.
But Rob, then get off the app, right? Then don't start a massive conversation with her. Just figure out, wait for a night where you know you're want to make yourself social and get out or whatever. And I know maybe that doesn't happen often, but try to get yourself to motivate yourself to do that. And then go meet her. Just, you can be an hour. You don't have to go far from your house, but I would just get off the app. You don't text anyone.
I just don't think it's me, guys. I just don't think this is my.
Okay. How can we shift to dating in real life then? You tried the apps. You gave them a fair shot. You're still on the waiting list for some of them.
You'll be happy to know that I had friends in town last weekend for a wedding and I had friends in town this weekend for the eclipse. And what I've started doing more of is when I see somebody attractive out, even though I didn't do it with that one girl, because it was kind of like a weird, she was petting my dog and she had friends at the table and I was leaving. I was walking out the bar when it happened, you know? What I have started doing is approaching girls in real life.
In the wild.
In the wild. And being let me get your Instagram maybe I can get your number. I've talked to them and I've had a 1 minute to 3 minute conversation with them. And at the end being let's exchange information type shit. So I have been being more aggressive in the approaching people on the outside and saying, fuck it, what do I have to lose?
Good. Okay. So there, way to bury the lead, Rob. So you actually are taking steps. So I think the moral of the story is apps are probably not for you. Yeah. You're going to keep going down the in-person route and testing the waters there and seeing what happens. And I think that is the update we're going to need next time, is how that's going.
I think we give you a challenge for this month, just for all shits and giggles.
No.
Cool.
Just go on one date.
No. I'm not, whenever, look, I'm also the kind of guy where if you get, you tell me I need to do something, that makes me not want to do it more.
Okay, fine. Don't go on a date this month. That's your challenge, Rob. Don't go on a date.
Go on no dates.
No dates for you.
That sounds like a good time to me.
Okay.
Awesome. This is a winner, winner. Okay. So everyone, you have heard our updates. You know where we all stand. I am sure there will be things that unfold. So please keep tuning in to hear how Lauren's adult girls trip goes, getting back out there, how my wedding planning, I don't even know what's going to happen the next couple of months.
I have to ask you about that too. Like, you know, my birthday is the 18th. So is there my birthday getting kind of put into this wedding at all? Or is that something I should just do?
Your birthday falls on Father's Day, doesn't it?
Sometimes.
Okay. Oh, it's not this year. This year it's like a Tuesday, but yes, we will celebrate your birthday after I say I do. We will do a special sing song for you.
All right.
And make my wedding about you for sure. Obviously, I want to do that. Okay. And then Rob, you will continue as we go on down the It's Complicated path to update us on how you're approaching dating, relationships, and getting off your couch.
I feel like I'm getting smarter and more emotionally intelligent because the person I'm waiting for is getting out of a bad situation. So that I'll be fair. There.
I felt that way too. So you're onto something.
Yeah.
Everyone listening, please subscribe, rate, share the show with a friend, comment, let us know how you feel about the different phases we're all in and how maybe you relate, or any advice. Like, this is a mutual relationship here. You can chat with us. Mm-hmm. And if you guys want to join the class of Master Daters, don't forget to follow us on social media at Complicated Show. If you're not already, you can find me at Jennifer Golden on all the social medias.
You could find me at Forever's Evers on Instagram.
And you can find me at Lauren Leonelli on all the social medias as well.
Bye, Gail.
Thank you for listening to It's Complicated. And now that we're going steady, come back next week for another date with Jennifer Golden, Lauren Leonelli, and Rob Evers.